I would ask you to please turn with me to Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desire of your heart. Psalm 37, verse 4. That's page 641. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And the subject before us this evening is delighting in the Lord. Delighting in the Lord. Now this verse is an instruction from the Lord among a number of instructions that we read in this psalm. We read, do not fret because of evildoers. Trust in the Lord. Dwell in the land. Commit your way to the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Cease from anger. Depart from evil. Wait on the Lord. Keep his way. Mark the blameless man, the one who is trusting not in himself, but in the Lord. Observe the upright. These are timeless instructions for the believer to follow in the fear of the Lord. But our focus this evening on this verse that has been laid on my mind these last few days is verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Now this verse actually has an evangelistic flavor to it because it goes right to the heart of the matter of our life this evening. This verse is dealing with the reality of where I am and where you are as a person before the Lord. Now, the Lord in his creation has given us abundant pleasures to rightly enjoy and appreciate and delight in. He has given us richly all things to enjoy. God is not, as we might say, a killjoy, rather the reverse. He teaches us, though, how to enjoy things properly. We are told, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. In other words, dwell in the land, enjoy God's creative goodness toward us, but appreciate that this is all to do with God's faithfulness. Enjoy his faithfulness toward us in creation and give him the praise. But with this providential dwelling in the land spoken of here, there is an essential element that must not be missed, and that is found at the beginning of verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. And this action of God-given faith is where it all begins. Everything emanates from this dependent trust upon the Lord. If you haven't taken that step yet in your life, dear friend, then you may enjoy the things of this world in a creative sense, in a reasonable manner, but you will not ever enjoy them in a really fulfilled manner, even the creative blessings of the Lord, because you do not see them truly as a gift of God. You will treat them as your right. You'll just take them and receive them and enjoy them, as it were, but not really appreciate the source. And so this faith, this trusting in the Lord, is so essential for us at the beginning. This is where it all begins. A total dependence and trust in the character of God, the way of God, the word of God, the salvation of God, the will of God, and the promises of God. We will never truly come to delight ourselves in the Lord and in his way if we do not first trust him. How can we delight in a person we do not trust? And so the first point here this evening, in laying down this foundation is the foundation of trust. Who are you trusting this evening? Are you trusting to yourselves? Are you trusting in the wisdom of this world, or are you trusting in the Lord? Trust in the Lord and do good. This is where it emanates from. This is where obedience emanates from. It's faith and obedience. We will never truly delight ourselves in the Lord till if this total trust is absent. So this evening, their first question, are you truly trusting in the Lord? Have you come to this point in your life when you exercise trust in God's salvation and way, that God has given you this wonderful gift of faith, and you say, oh, I trust now in his word. There was a time when I would glance over it, and it didn't mean much to me, and I didn't see the significance of it, but now I do. I have had so many experiences in my life, and it's really ringed me out, as it were. It's affected me so deeply. I've now come to see the importance and the relevance of the Word of God. I've come to trust in this Word. And I've come to trust God, even though I don't understand all his dealings towards me in my life. I do not understand what is always happening to me in my life and why God permits this or permits that. But what I do know is that I trust in God. Maybe we need to remind ourselves again this evening that this trust is to be a total trust as a little child. It's so precious to see how little children trust their parents. We're not talking here about childish faith, immature faith. We're talking about childlike faith. And a little child trusts their father and their mother. There is a trust, a complete trust. And only as we come this evening as a little child, with our whole being, and saying, Lord, I trust you for all now. Not just for a little section of my life, but I trust you, Lord, for all. I'm done with trying to work out my life in my own way. I'm done with trying to sort out what's gone out in the past. What's gone on in the past? And what's going on in the present, and what might happen in the future. I've come to this realization that I can't work it all out. I haven't got an explanation for it all. And so I'm simply going to trust. Trust in the Lord. It's so liberating, friends. Trust in the Lord. I'm reminded in the meditation on this subject of that well-known hymn 653. If we just turn with it, I'll just read it to you, but it's so helpful on this subject in meditation. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, of that free love, the breadth, the length, the depth and height to prove, here for a season, then above, O Lamb of God, I come. And the hymn writer there captured the essence of this trust. I come, just as I am. But now we come, having spoken by way of introduction upon the essential nature, first of trusting in the Lord, doing good, dwelling in the land, in a proper way, feeding on His faithfulness, we come to this verse, delight yourself also in the Lord. This is the God-given experience of a faith which is focused upon the Lord. As we come with our whole being and we trust only in the Lord, this is a fruit. From this faith, we begin to delight ourselves in the Lord. It is this matter of delighting in the Lord, the desire of the heart we are considering this evening. The delight and the desires found in this verse are inextricably linked together. Delight yourself also in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart. And I want you to remember, please, this evening, friends, just three simple headings. Three simple headings. First of all, depend, trust. Secondly, delight. And thirdly, desire. Depend, delight, desire. We've spoken about depending, but now we're going to speak about delighting. An unbeliever does not delight in the Lord. And as a consequence, their delight must be in something else, because we are created as beings to worship. In our fallen state, by nature, we are not given to worshiping God, but we'll worship something else. If it's not God, we will be worshiping something else. And it may be so with you this evening. You may not truly be worshiping God, but be sure of something, then you are worshiping something else or someone else. An unbeliever does not delight in the Lord, and as a consequence, his delight is found in the world or in themselves. A believer, by contrast, delights in the Lord, and this, as a consequence, affects the desire of their heart. The desires of their heart are toward God. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. And the desires of your heart are those desires which will honor the Lord in your life and bring glory to His name. The desires of your heart are what God wants for you in your life. What God wants for you. And this delight is the influence on the desires of the heart, whether it be spiritual or providential. Yes, it even affects the providential side of our life. And we will find that God may bless us providentially in a most marked way, but we don't become materialistic. We don't grasp onto these riches, but we ask God, "Oh Lord, help me to steward these riches, this prosperity you have given me, this new position, this higher position in life, this extremely responsible management position that I have been promoted to." You will see that in the context of God's providence and seeking to fulfill that work for the glory of God. It affects your providential pathway and your spiritual pathway. Notice here how proactive David is. Delight first, and then the desires become second. We delight ourselves in the Lord, and that then will affect what we desire. The Lord will give the desires of the heart of those trusting in Him, delighting in Him. Now, the word delight here has to do with who is the chief focus of our life. It means to be molded by the influence of that person you are focusing upon. Here it is the delight by faith, whereby we are being molded by a communion with the Lord. We are delighting ourselves in the Lord, and we're finding new wonders about the Lord as we grow in grace, wonders we never noticed before. depths of his love, depths of his forgiveness, depths of his patience, depths of his wisdom, depths of his truth. And we're finding that it's a God is not limited at all. He's unlimited. There is a love without limit. There is a wisdom without limit. There is a truth without limit. It's simply go into this incredible truth of who God is. Because God becomes the chief focus of our life. As we know the Lord and his word, his way and his character, our desires are molded. And these desires being molded by delight in the Lord, they become profitable for us and helpful desires for us. So the things we desire in our life are things which are going to be good for us and help us and be positive for us in our growth and in our witness in this world. And such desires are then met by the Lord according to his perfect will and purpose for our good. And so there is this connection, delight and desire. Depend on the Lord, delight in the Lord, and your desires will be profitable. The great question this verse asks us then in our life is, who are we delighting in? Who is the number one focus in our life? Or we may ask ourselves, what are we delighting in? Where are you this evening before the Lord? Every one of us can answer this question in our hearts before the Lord this evening. There is not a person in this room who cannot actually answer this question honestly before the Lord this evening. Who is or what is the chief focus of my desires, of my delight? Are we delighting first in the Lord, or are we delighting first in something in this world? Now let me bring this some practical application to this. I speak personally. I have a about 3 years ago, I got a Kindle, and I'm very attached to the Kindle because if you have insomnia, you can read it at night, and it's just a backlit, so you can just pick it up and you can read it. But what I have found in my own walk with the Lord is the Kindle has probably become my biggest challenge in life. And this is the reason. I have some what we might call secular books. By that I mean, I don't mean unprofitable books in terms of lust and all that sort of thing. I'm talking here about secular, perhaps information books or accounts, historical accounts or and the such like, that in and of themselves are quite harmless. But then you can get incredible works on Kindle, can't you? Do you know you can get the whole works of Tozer or Spurgeon and other remarkable men of God, Matthew Henry, just download for 99p. Some are free. And so you've got then this choice. What am I going to read? And what I'm saying to you is that I find personally that it's very challenging. What is my focus? What is my first reference point? As I open my Kindle, am I going to go for something for the soul or something for the mind? You know, something to just interest. Now, that personally is something that I find very challenging. And when we come to a text like this, it's very searching. Delight yourself in the Lord. We could speak about our conversations. Afterwards this evening, in our conversations, what lights us up? Now, is it something which may be about the text or some experience spiritually, or is it something about the garden or something about a product you've just bought? What is it really animates us? And then it could be friendships. Those of you who are younger, I talk to you teenagers this evening. You're going back to school or college tomorrow. Now you're here with us this evening. And I trust everyone here is kind and will chat to you. And there may be people here, teenagers of your age, to talk to and share the things of God if you're in the way. But then when you get to school tomorrow or college tomorrow, do you find you're more animated with your school friends or your college friends or your work friends? Those of us who are older can ask this question. It's very, very challenging for us, the friendships that we prefer. Our time. How are we scheduling our time? We looked this coming week and we have 24 hours a day. And we schedule our time, and how much of that time is set aside as we're given these hours for delighting ourselves in the Lord. I'm not here being critical. I'm not being in any way judgmental here. I'm just asking you the question that we can answer and you can answer and I can answer in my own mind, because if we find ourselves saying, well, actually, in all honesty, I have to say that where I am at the moment, I do not find the Lord is my chief desire. My love has grown cold and faint, I'm afraid. Then these are the times when we need to come to the Lord just as we are and tell the Lord about the problem. Tell him how it is with us in our walk with the Lord. We know we don't really want to be like it. In our right mind, we want to be much more for the Lord. But it's got a bit cold in our life. And so the Lord knows, and he knows how to deal with us. But he'll deal with us as we come, and we tell him how we are. And here we are told to delight yourself in the Lord. There's a touching example given to us in Scripture, and I'll see if I can just turn to it now regarding Hosea. In the book of Hosea, prophet Hosea, the Lord says about Ephraim, and he said, Ephraim is joined to his idols. And the Lord said, let him alone. He's joined to his idols. Let him alone. And that's a very solemn statement of the Lord. I'm just going to let him alone. I'm just going to leave him with his idols. But then if we turn to chapter 14 and verse 8 of the same prophecy, we see these remarkable words. And this is what the Lord has done. Ephraim has come back to the Lord, and in his state he's come. And the Lord said, Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green cypress tree. Your fruit is found in me. Whoso is wise, let him understand these things. See how merciful the Lord is to Ephraim. He's actually been joined to his idols. But he's come back to the Lord. And Ephraim's going to say, what have I ever more to do with these idols? Your fruit is found in me. But this evening I just want to now encourage you in delighting in the Lord. Some positive encouragement about delighting yourself in the Lord. What is the teaching in Scripture on this essential issue for us? Well, what about salvation? In the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, verse 10, we read, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. So we can delight ourselves in salvation. We can delight ourselves in the very righteousness of Christ, the robe of righteousness which is given to every sinner that comes just as they are to the Lord Jesus. Delight yourself in his salvation. He's mighty to save this evening, friends. Whatever Satan is saying to you and tempting you and say, well, there's this issue in my life that it can't be dealt with. Surely the Lord can't deal with that. No, that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says, come. Come unto me. And I will greatly rejoice. I will delight myself, not in myself. I will delight myself in the Lord. I will look out of myself to the Lord. I'll find my hope in the Lord. And I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. And my soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He's covered me. Covered me with the robe of righteousness. And the psalmist said about the word of God, the law of the Lord. He said, my delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law I meditate day and night. I find such assurance in the word of God. I delight in it because therein I find my assurance. Therein I find the promises. Therein I find my security. Therein I find the truth. And then the psalmist said elsewhere in Psalm 94 verse 19, in the multitude of my anxieties, your comforts delight my soul. Yes, I'm anxious. I'm an anxious person. There's a multitude of anxieties. Some of us, some of you, may be prone to anxiety. Prone to worry. I remember my mother was prone to worry. She was a worrier. And I remember when Dad used to go off to preach, and he'd gone on a long journey, and he'd have to work out how long it should take him to get home. And my mother used to say to him, when can I start worrying on your return home? When can I start worrying? It's almost like permission to worry. That's because you had a disposition to worry. Some of you do have a disposition to anxiety. And the psalmist said he was the same, but he had a problem with a disposition to being anxious and worry. And so he said, in the multitude of my anxieties, when they build up and overwhelm me, it's your comfort, your word, which delights my soul. And then the psalmist said elsewhere, unless your law had been my delight, unless your word had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. Unless your word had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I don't want you ever to underestimate, dear friends, the wonder of the word of God in the heart. I've been to see Jim now in hospital every day, not today, but Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and I've read with him. And you know our brother is suffering with his mind. But he's as sharp as anything with the word of God. And I was reading three passages of scripture to him each day, one passage, one short passage each day. And as I'm reading it, he's actually reading it in front of me. He could remember what's coming next. Because the word of God is hidden in his heart. And on yesterday, he looked at me with tears in his eyes, and that's my comfort. Where would we be without the word of God? Unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. And Paul said, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. This is delight. Delight in, delight yourself also in the Lord. But then, when we delight in the Lord, it needs to be a balanced delighting. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, we delight in God's holiness. And that's right and proper. But if we delight in God's holiness, only in his holiness, we can become overwhelmed. We could never approach this holy God. Who am I? God is holy. I am unholy. How am I going to ever approach this holy God? We can delight in the fact that God is holy, But we need to also, with that, to delight that God is love. So as we look at the various attributes of God, and we look at God, for example, as the pure and holy judge, we need to also remember that he's merciful. God's holiness and God's love, God's justice, but God's grace. So we need to balance this out. We need to be balanced in our thinking as we meditate and delight ourselves in the Lord. And this is where hyper-Calvinism has gone wrong. Hyper-Calvinism is a thought that God is sovereign. He is sovereign. God is sovereign in all his ways. But God is also love, and God is gracious, and God invites sinners to come to him, and the gospel is to go throughout all the world and be preached throughout every nation, to every tribe and nation and kingdom. The invitation of the gospel must go out to all the world. But when we focus only on one part of God's character and way, we become unbalanced in our theology. But the Bible is full of the wonderful, beautiful character of God. And the Bible is so balanced the truth it gives about God. There is truth about his holiness. There's truth about his love. There's truth about his justice and his grace and his sovereignty and his mercy. And we delight in his purposes, but also delight in his promises. We delight in his commands. So be a balanced delighter. You know, when you get to that box of chocolates, you only take the ones you like, and you know, you see this box of chocolates and there's a few more left in it, and you perhaps don't delight so much in that particular chocolate. But you know, there are some attributes of God that are harder for us to understand. Are harder for us perhaps to delight in, and faith has to be exercised more and more as we consider, for example, the sovereignty of God and the justice of God and even the wrath of God, because the wrath of God is an attribute of God in a pure way because of his holiness. But we need to delight ourselves in the glorious character of God, the whole being of God. So as you do this, remember the word of the Lord to his people in his thoughts towards them. As you delight yourself in the Lord says, I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That is the hope of the Lord's people. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Delight in his salvation. Delight in his truth. Delight in his grace and his mercy and his holiness and his justice and his majesty and his glory. And he shall give you the desires of your heart. If we are blessed to follow by faith the first part, then we can enter into the second part. What will these desires be like? Well, firstly, it will be, your desire will be that God will be honored in your life, in salvation and sanctification. Secondly, that God, as your Father, will do all that is required to prepare you for glory. And you'll be like a piece of clay to be molded by the potter. And you will say, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy throne. Thirdly, that Christ Jesus would so mold us through his word that we might be fruitful. We will become molded by the character, the example, the teaching of Christ. That God would use us in his service. That God would provide for our needs. You may well have providential needs this evening. Things that really concern you. God will provide for all your needs according to his riches in glory. Well, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That is the promise. Delight yourself in the Lord, he shall give you the desires of your heart. He has filled the hungry with good things, the rich he has sent empty away. Those that come with a desire, they will be filled. Well, we ask ourselves in conclusion then this evening, what is the eternal substance of your delight and desire? Those of you who are not walking with the Lord this evening, weigh up your delight, weigh up your desire. Put it in the scale and put on one side of the scale the eternal side. And then put in your desires on the other side and see how it compares. How heavy are the things of this world compared with eternity? How heavy are they? Secondly, as a believer, seek and keep seeking that your delight would refocus on the Lord. Let the beauty of the Lord be upon us. His love and his truth, his power and grace, his wisdom, his mercy, his way. And let the wonder of his redemption and Calvary and the resurrection and the intercession, the glory that is to come. And he will give us each suitable gifts in harmony with our heart's desire for God's glory. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart.